Welcome to the New Spirit Radio Show by Nova Spiritus. For Wednesday, August 28th, I am your host Michael McClellan with my co-host Tom Bigley coming to you live from San Jose, California, as we will every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hi, Tom. How you doing? What, you were muted. Go ahead, Tom. You're on.
Sorry. I don't know how that happened.
All right.
I'm doing great, Michael. Thanks for the introduction. And I'm excited to hear more about the tenants and discuss it, and hoping to hear talk with more callers this evening.
Yeah, me too. I think it's great that people will call in. And I did post a word on Facebook. I probably should not have said emergency. It was basically a conflict or an unforeseen situation that Sylvia and Chris was not able to be on the air tonight. But they're fine. Everything is fine with them. And they were just disappointed they couldn't actually be on the radio show tonight. But they will both be on probably even next week. So hopefully next Wednesday, September 4th. We'll confirm that and let everyone know when Sylvia and Chris both will be on. So if you're a first-time listener, thank you for tuning in. We are both ministers with Society of Nova Spiritus. We're very excited to be hosting the Nova Spiritus New Spirit Radio Show. We have been talking about the tenets of Nova Spiritus. There are 22 tenets, and we've been playing audio clips from Sylvia talking about the tenets, which I think was about 20 years ago. Don't you think, Tom?
Yes, Michael. Sorry, I was talking with our chat host as well here, who's taking chat information and sharing questions with us that people have that are chatting in.
Well, great. Well, we're really enjoying it. Of course, it's always fun to Sylvia. We love her voice and love the flock. And so we will be finishing up the tonight. And there were four tenants that were added later on. And so we will also go through and explain the additional four tenants that were added on. And then Sylvia also did a meditation, which we will be playing later in the hour. So we just want this radio show to be very informative and have a special guest like Sylvia and Chris and other ministers and play audio clips from Sylvia, Francine, and Raheem, and give a lot of information about study groups, hypnosis, past life regression, psychic development, spirit guides, angels, healing, and information on the high holy days that we celebrate. So if we're ready, shall we go ahead and get right into tenet number 15?
Sure. I will get that started here. Where did you hide it, Michael? Oh, never mind. Sorry, I got it. All right, here we go.
God allows each person the opportunity for perfection, whether you need one life or 100 lives to reach your goal. Now this to me, and I found it amazing, is the most understandable, logical thing that I could think of. I mean, if I didn't even know that it were true, which I do, and I didn't always believe it was true until I proved it to myself. Why, though, excuse me, when we think of a logical God, he's got to be logical. And he's got to be perfect, doesn't he? Why would he give us one chance, one silly, stupid chance to be an idiot, to be deformed, to be messed up? We've got lots of chances to mess up. We've got lots of chances for these patterns. You know why? Because God experiences through us. This wonderful, perfect, all-loving God. Don't let anybody give you this vengeful God. That's not our God. That's a false God. Talk about idolatry. That's idolatry. This fear God. Why? Love God. God is all love. And this loving God says, how many times do we do this with our own children? And think about God's love magnified trillions of times more. All right, you've got another chance. You didn't take out the garbage, you can take it out again. We didn't like it because you didn't take out the garbage, but you're going to learn to take it out, aren't you? And once we take it out, it's over with. But don't we keep trying not to take it out. And we carry it in our lives, don't we? We not only take it away from the kitchen, but we carry it with us to work, back home, carry the garbage, all the garbage of our lives. Well, God says that we have a chance to purify, to experience for Him this all perfect, wonderful God that understands everything. Now, think of the Christ consciousness within inside of us, the Christ consciousness that we've always talked about, and that's what Christ really wanted. Christ wanted us to remember Him and use Him as an example of His life and how we should live ours. And what did we do? We made Him a deity and we forgot all about God. I was talking to some of my ministers the other night, and I said to them, do you remember in the old movie when George Burns was God? Do you remember when John Denver said to him, so what about Jesus being the Son of God? He said, yes, He was, and so are you, my son, and so is she, and so is the woman walking down the street and the man coming in. We're all sons and daughters of God. Every single one of us carries the divine. Don't you see what a ploy that was? If someone is over you, it diminishes your God center and it makes you subliminal. And then you live your life in this darkness. You live your life in hell. That's what hell is, that darkness. That only certain people know the truth. That's not right. Everyone knows truth. You have the goodness and the God-centeredness within you to know truth. You have a beauty and uniqueness that is found nowhere else in any universe. And no one has the right to tell you you don't know. And no one has the right to tell you that it's a mystery and you can't know it. Because the minute you hear that, regardless, if you never come back here again, there's something wrong. Because God made it available for every single person. If that's not true, stop and think, be reasonable. God plays favorites. Not my God. What, God only loves one group and not the other? Come on. And the Bible was designed for that to bring fear. Don't you see? And we're talking about, we believed something for years, or so many people did, that was written by an illiterate group of people that were trying to get the Jews away from the Egyptians. So wouldn't you make your God more frightening? Of course you would. It's only understandable. Like I've said 1,000 times, Moses was the greatest salesman that ever lived. Imagine people wandering around for 40 years. And he'd say, we'll get there.
So do we need to run around for 40 years ourselves?
I hope not. No, I think actually this philosophy is so simple and so logical, and it's unfortunate some people want to blame God for the situations in their life, and like Sylvia said, the adding reincarnation basically solves like the mysteries and why we choose such tough lessons and learning and desert periods, you know, to perfect our soul.
Right, I agree. And along the lines of, I was saying earlier about testing our soul, testing the expression is sometimes used, testing the metal of who we are. We want to understand how tough we are in a sense, and what kind of adversities that we can get through and learn from that.
I agree. So, very good. Well, shall we continue on?
Sure. I will get on to the next one here. Number 16, where'd you hide it? There you are. Good.
Devote your life, your soul, your very existence to the service of God, for only there will you find meaning in life. that doesn't mean you have to be a nun, a priest, a monk, even a minister. Those of us that have done it chose to dedicate our life to God. Does that mean we don't have a good time? Does that mean we don't go out? Does that mean a bunch of us went out the other night and we have a rip-snorting time? We went to the show, we went out to eat. We have a wonderful time. We don't walk around in sackcloth and ashes, but we have made a concerted effort and a commitment within our soul that we're going to devote our life to God. And the meaning of what the Mother Goddess, what God the Father, what this love of God really means before this earth goes down in a flame of whatever. Because don't you see, this whole world was made so that people would get to the truth. That's all this is. It's all of a sudden there's been a lot of bad schools here, and we're trying to get a good school going to educate the people so that they will know. Because in education, when you get to the other side, it's easier. The transition, we've had a lot of deaths, and we're facing a lot of deaths within this group, this foundation, this church. And we have found that the people that have died, I mean, they're elderly, 88, have gone so easily that it says something for our belief. Because we know we step the line and the tunnel opens up and we go. We had one wonderful woman who was getting ready. She was 88 or 89, buttoned herself into her car and left. She did. She put her seatbelt on and left. That's the way to go. She was getting ready for the trip. So the whole meaning of the commitment of, and that doesn't mean you don't, but you keep this every day in your heart, that every day in every way, you're going to do something good for someone. Now this doesn't mean you're going to let people walk over you. Are you going to be one of these panty waists that walks around and say, whatever you want to do, slap me in the face, fine, God love you. No. Somebody slaps you in the face, you slap them back. That's the way you do. You don't let anybody hurt you. And you can get angry, you can do all those things. But you don't let anybody defile your temper. Temple, you can have enough temper. You can come out and say to a kid that's lousy, don't you ever say that again to me or I'll knock your head off. I mean, that's normal. You don't let people hurt you. Our Lord didn't. Why have we forgotten he had a temper? He took the people and just ripped those tables up. Said, how dare you? How dare you defile a temple? We forgot that. So we said, okay, we're going to be sweet. Turn the other cheek. What? Which cheek? Why do we let people hurt us so badly? And why do we live with guilt? And if we have the meaning of God, the feeling that God is with us, we lose all that guilt and all that garbage we didn't put away. And we are not so heavy. We're not so full of pain all the time.
So what is the meaning of life? That is a wonderful tenet of Novus Veritas. And basically, like Sylvia said, you know, we're not like holy rollers or, you know, holier than thou. We are real people living a spiritual life. And the meaning for life is basically to live for God, love others, and then be, you know, a beacon of hope to the world. That seems to be what is most important to me in my life.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds great. It helps me when I think of, you know, am I doing the best that I know how? You know, we get people that talk to us and say, oh my God, I'm so worried about this or that. And I stop them and say, are you doing the best that you know how with what you have? And, you know, 99 times out of 100, they'll say yes. And you know, we've been taught that's it. That's all that's required, is the best that you can with what you've got.
I think, though, Gnostics, typically a Gnostic, of course, means seeker after truth and knowledge, and that most Gnostics sometimes feel they're, you know, not always doing as much as we can. You know, it's
right.
Like, what else can we do? You know, how else can we you know, spread the word. You know, this this radio show is awesome, and it's so wonderful that so many people are tuning in and are listening to the archives, and hopefully, you know, getting a lot of good information, good positive information. You know, Sylvia was talking about how they made Christ God. A little personal note, I actually went and visited my mother this last weekend, and she goes, you know, well, Michael, are you going to go to church with me? I went, yeah, sure, Mom, I will. It was very interesting. Sometimes a little confusing because they would talk about God and, you know, Father, and then they would talk about Christ and our Lord, and there was no delineation. You know, there was no real, you know, Father God and then Christ. You know, like we have Father God, Mother God, and Christ. And it's, you know, very clear information, but for the religions to elevate God, I mean, Christ as God, you know, actually kind of takes away the thunder from God the Father, which apparently Francine told us that Christ never wanted to do, was take away, you know, the honor and thunder from, you know, God the Father. But it was good. I just did it for my mom. So
that's very nice of you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, shall we go on?
We do have, if we want to take a moment, we do have a person in Pennsylvania that had a comment to make, if we wanted to get to that or if we want to go through the tenants.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, let me get Connie from Pennsylvania is on, Pennsylvania is on. And hi, Connie.
Hi there. How are you this evening?
We're doing excellent. How about
Great.
Yourself?
I basically wanted to make a comment. My sister passed away a few weeks ago. And we had, between her and I've been a member of the of Nova Spiritus since 1999. And over the years, we had discussed different tenets and different things that would come up in conversation or whatever. And she gradually, you know, started asking more questions and things like that. And the day that they put her in hospice, she said to me, Connie, I need you to let someone there know that they have done so much good for me in my life and making it so much easier for me to pass. And I just wanted to make that comment to let you know and to let the church know and Sylvia the good that they did for my sister that made her passing so much easier. And she was just a wonderful, wonderful person. But she died with, you know, the purest heart because of our discussions and her beliefs in the Novus way, in the Gnostic way. And she, you know, we would talk for hours sometimes about different things. And I said, well, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm sure it's in one of my books because I own just about all of the books. And but she did want me to somehow let someone know, and I think this is the perfect chance for me to do that. And I'm very, very glad that you fellas have given it to me.
Well, thank you, Connie. We really appreciate your call and how wonderful that you feel and your sister felt that she could make the transition. There was no fear about graduating. And
none.
And like Sylvia was just talking about, you know, since this is an old tape that some of the ministers or people involved, you know, again, would do, have very easy graduation. Our prefect, Enid Laws, got her whole family together. And they had a big, you know, huge dinner, and she basically, you know, telling everybody how much, you know, she loves them, and she said she was going to go upstairs and lie down, and then graduated. And it was like wonderful. So, well, thank you for sharing. That is wonderful.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate you.
And I just wanted to say my sister's name was Luann, and she passed away August 3rd.
All right. So, all right. God bless you.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Also, too, I want to actually address the chat room. I'm not sure who Asna Lover is, but that's okay. It doesn't really matter. But last week, Asna Lover, you had posted something about your sister that was having a problem with God and, you know, went through some, you know, transformation. So actually, if you would like to post that again, that would be wonderful. Oh, it's Suzanne. All right, Suzanne. Yeah, if you would post that about your sister again, then actually I really did want to read it last week, but it kind of went off my screen. So thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate that. Okay, Tom. Well, shall we go ahead with the 17?
I hope it's 17 because that's usually the numerical order. But all right, here we go.
War is profane. Defense is compulsory. Now that sounds like what? We believe that war is ugly. We are really basically conscientious objectors. But we do believe in defending our own. Only if it comes to the point of on our ground. We do not believe in going anywhere else to defend anything else. You say it was messed up. No, because don't you see, our world is becoming so haphazard and crazy. We've got to defend just what we know. We don't have any business. We had no business in Vietnam. And I shouldn't get into that because churches are not supposed to be political. And I agree with what Jim Gabbard says. Why is the church into this abortion issue is beyond me. Churches should not get into these issues. And the only issue we get into is that we do not believe, we are conscientious objectors, we do not believe in sending our boys away to be killed. And that is unanimous with all of us that believe this way. Now, if it means somebody's at this door and they're going to hurt somebody that we love, you better believe we're going to defend.
So, yeah, defending ourselves. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
Defending ourselves, I agree, is important. It's what I'm thinking about is, you know, the term of turning the other cheek. And I enjoy her expression about, you know, which cheek. there's controversy and, you know, debate about what that term means, you know, turning the other cheek. Is it being just accepting or saying, here, hit me in my other cheek? Or are you going to say, wait a minute, excuse me, that's not acceptable to me, and you know, defend your territory? Keep up, remind yourself you are important. You know, you're an important person. Don't be a doormat letting people walk on you. That's been helpful for me.
Yeah, and I think, war is scary, and sometimes I have a hard time justifying all, you know, sending all our young men and women, you know, to another country for whatever reason. You know, hopefully we pray that this whole situation with Syria calms down, because, you know, it seems to be like another scary situation that, you know, it's horrible, you know, all the people in service to keep us free, you know, that are dying. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a reason, like when Sylvia said there were no weapons of mass destruction. So it's very unfortunate. Hopefully that has calmed down. Okay, and actually, Asna Lover, or Suzanne, first, Connie, Suzanne says, God bless you, and that she felt like giving you a hug. So she's talking about her my oldest and older sister Kelly was born and didn't breathe for over 5 minutes at birth, and it caused brain damage. She ultimately became epileptic oldest and only sister, she meant to say. She was born in 1959 in an era when mentally retarded. Hold on a second. jumped off the screen. People were treated horribly. Suzanne was born in 1964 and shared a bedroom with her all of her childhood. She's always had a love for God and her sister hated God and blamed him for the way that she was all of her life. She hated God until Suzanne shared Novus and the Gnostic belief and brought it into her life. And she started off with one of Sylvia's CD, and her sister fell in love with it because it contained in it what an advanced soul she was for choosing such a difficult life. Well, that's wonderful, Suzanne, and what a wonderful way to help your sister, you know, not blame God for something that she chose to learn through. So, good for you. That's a wonderful way to share the philosophy. Thank you, Suzanne, for sharing that with us.
It reminds
okay,
me
Tom?
Too of yeah. It was reminding me too of Enid's daughter Kathy, who had, I believe, it was multiple sclerosis, and had gotten a lot of emotional help through that, you know, to deal with that. And there was the silly story of the two ladies that came to church one Sunday, and Kathy's selling books like mad and, you know, having fun selling books. And the two ladies tell her, "So, does this place heal?" And she says, "Oh, absolutely." You know, Kathy says, "Absolutely." And the two ladies, you know, ignorantly say, "Well, they haven't healed you. What's the deal?" And, you know, Kathy saying, "Well, excuse me, but yes, they have. Yes, it has done a lot of good." And so, yeah, there is a lot of interesting ignorance about, you know, physical challenges, mental challenges that people have, in you know, how we view it. And it's, I think, very freeing, you know, mentally and emotionally freeing how we what's the right word? How we perceive that, you know, what we say about it, that, you know, those people are our advanced souls. A wimpy soul's not going to come in and be a, you know, have some form of deficiency and have to deal with all the prejudices associated with it. So it's just an interesting subject. Thanks.
Yes, it is. That's right. A wimpy soul couldn't handle such a challenging life. And it's interesting how I would treat people. I was at the office and a physically challenged person came in, and it was quite a line. And this one guy, when he actually got to the front of the line, he turned around and there was a postal person. And he said, "Well, can't you help this person first? You know, she's challenged." And I was like, good for you. What a wonderful way to, you know, to treat this person that is having a harder time special and allow her to go in front of you. I was impressed. It was kind of like that TV show I've seen a couple of times. It's like, what would you do? You know, and it's when people act out and treat people bad and see if anybody stands up and says something about, you know, hey, you know, don't be talking like that to that waitress. She's, you know, just trying to help you out. So I was like looking around for the cameras to see if there was any cameras around.
That's good.
All right. Shall we go on 18?
Absolutely. I found it. Here we go.
Death is an act of returning home. It should be done with grace and dignity. You say, well, yeah, but Sylvie, that's all well and good, but how do you do that? Because if you really want it that way, that's the way it's going to happen. You don't have to suffer. And you don't have to talk to the Hemlock Society either. But you do not have to go on tubes. You do not have to be kept alive. You can make right now in your heart the living will of that when it's your time, let go of the cord and go home. There's nothing worse than outstaying your welcome anyway. You know what I'm saying? I say to people, go home. People ask me so many times, what is the meaning of life? I said, do good. Love as many people and help as many people as you can, and then shut up and go home. That's the meaning of life. If you do that, you've done it all. People say, yes, but I haven't accomplished anything. Have you done anything really bad, mean, hate? No. Then you've done it. You've walked through this nightmare of life. And it is, at base. At the base core of it, it's a hell here. And that doesn't mean we don't love life, but the majority of it is hard. And now that I'm getting older, I realize that aging is not really a hell of a lot of fun. It's like Betty Davis said, it's certainly not for sissies, is it? Get up in the morning and say, what's that now? Everything hurts. Life. Life hurts you. Life hurts you really bad. Life wears you down, wears you out. All the disappointments, the hurts. But then there's a beauty. Every once in a while, that curtain parts. And a little bit of that other side comes through. Do you know why we walk around with that ache here all the time? That funny ache that no matter how much you want to fill it up, you can't. It's because we're so damn homesick. Don't you know we're homesick for the other side where it's beautiful and wonderful and there's no adversity, there's no nastiness going on, there's no bad jobs, there's nobody that hates us. Everybody says, well, let's all go today and let's jump off. No, because you got to finish it off. If you don't stay, you got to come back and do this nightmare again. You may preserve that dignity by refusing prolonged use of artificial life support systems and let God's will be done. You know, I hear people say that, and then eventually they will call me and say, should I, Sylvia, put my mother or my father, they're practically brain dead, practically flatlined, they want to know if they ought to keep them on something. No, you don't have to. There comes a time when the dignity of life is to be preserved at all costs. And that dignity says that that person has a right to go with dignity, without all that. We go to the old people's homes a lot and watch these people that there isn't this much spark left and they're keeping them going because some relative wants out of guilt and because the money is big time stuff to keep these people alive. Don't you see? And I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why we don't get more cures faster than we should. I'm telling you, I know this in my heart, it's because it's big money. It's big business to keep people lingering. We don't have to do that. You're going home. This is all, like I tell people, boot camp. This is where it is. We're learning, and that's the glorious thing too, because it's like the challenge of every day. See if I can get through this. I'm going to bite the bullet and go through it. The lonely times, the dark times, the happy times. I wish I could give you more hope that there were happier times ahead. I think the happier times is going to be a cleansing of finding happiness within each and every one of us and coming together as a conglomerate, loving group. That's where the happiness is. Without a dime in our pocket, without anything, everything being practically stripped away from us, we have had a ball. We have our potlucks. We come together, we love each other, we hug each other. My grandmother used to say, people do not die of illness, they die of loneliness, boredom, and non-nurturing. And I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah. And it reminds me along the lines of, you know, going home. You know, making it easier. You know, you had made the comment a week or two ago, Michael, about, you know, aging. Francine Sylvia Sparaguide had shared with us the aging process, the biggest purpose behind it, almost like the soul, to me, like the only purpose behind it is to get us to let go so that we, you know, when we're done with this lifetime, it's getting us to emotionally let go. And so we will go instead of, you know, dragging on and on with the, as you know, as Sylvia says, that's, you know, I enjoyed listening to that, knowing that, okay, we can make that choice. We can program in our head. You know, we do see elderly people, that suffer over a period of time, but you know what, we can ask ourselves, tell ourselves, you know what, I don't want to go that way. We can be as healthy as we want for as long as we want. When we're ready, when our soul says we're ready, we're going to be comfortable with that, and we just go. Just as Michael had shared, you know, about Enid, our prelate, just, you know, going to bed and disappearing and going and graduating. you know, I, when I've done, one of the things that goes along those lines is my, I had a regression years ago and experienced a death experience. And it's that release, understanding, oh my God, you know, reminding my soul, reminding myself that, oh my God, it's that easy. It was such a peaceful release from the stress of being murdered, and then a moment later it's like you're feeling so wonderful, you've let go. And I, when I do regressions with people, I do hypnotic regressions with people, I help them to remember, you know, remember how that feels, because that's as easy as it is when you're ready to go.
Okay, Tom, there's some chats on here I wanted to address real quickly. Asna Nulliver Suzanne said because of her sister that she went into nursing. What a wonderful, compassionate thing, a good way to serve people. And another lady here on the chat line, Kinsey's mom, had to take her 14-year-old daughter off of life support. Wow, what a very difficult thing to have to do. But God bless you, Ken's mom, in that you were, you know, able to do that. I don't know if people have with my dad. We had a do not resuscitate order because you know, none of us want to be stuck in a hospital bed hooked up to, you know, tubes and wires when, you know, we can go home and be whole and so that, you know, Kinsey's mom, your daughter, you know, got to graduate and go home. I'm not sure what the accident was, but, you know, God bless you for, you know, doing the right thing. Hopefully it was something that you felt, you know, felt good about, and knowing that she's wonderful now. She's in heaven, of course. And also in the chat room is Esteban Lopez is asking, you know, how do we impart love and dignity with people that are so drastic about dying and fearful about dying? And Esteban, I think that, you know, my question usually is people have that fear but don't have the knowledge. You know, they don't have the information. And Sylvia's all-time book is Life on the Other Side, or The Other Side and Back. And that gives people the knowledge that, you know, where they're going, you know, what they're going to do, and what it's like. And I think after they have knowledge and they don't have the fear that, you know, there's no hell, you know, we're going to be able to make the transition, we're going to be able to graduate, and we're going to be able to go home and meet, you know, all our loved ones from past lives, our animals are all going to be there. You know, that's wonderful. When my dad graduated, my dad was a total cowboy. And he had a major heart attack and 5 bypass, but we got to have him for like 6 more years. And he, you know, was doing really good, but then all of a sudden he really started going, you know, downhill and in the hospital. And my mom asked him, she said, you know, are you ready to go, you know, be with Jesus? And he said, yes. And my mom, you know, I'm so proud of her, said, okay, all right, sweetheart, you know, I'll see you there. And when Sylvia had called me and said, you know, sorry to hear about your dad, I said, well, thank you, but it was actually, you know, a blessing. And Sylvia said, well, Francine said that he's over there riding his horse, cowboy hat and all. So that made me feel really good.
Cool. Glad those people are writing in.
Yeah, and actually, when this last weekend visiting with my mom, she said that the last time she kind of like had a dream or saw him, she goes, he was really young. And I go, oh, well, you know, we do go back to the age 30 when, you know, we go to the other side. She goes, yeah, that's about how old he was. And it was really nice seeing him, you know, so young and vibrant again. Yay, that was cool.
That's a fun validation.
Yes. So is that the last tenet that we had recorded?
Yes.
All right. Also, I guess Sonia is on the chat line too, and her father-in-law was taken off life support July 6th of this year. So hopefully, Sonia, you know how, you know, I'm sure pleased, you know, and that he, you know, got to go. And, you know, I definitely want to have a do not resuscitate or, you know, for me, because definitely, but, you know, most of us agnostics, you know, we, since we know where we're going, like Sylvia said, you know, we can just make the transition. She actually has told us that the tunnel actually comes out of our solar plexus, and that we can just go through the tunnel and go to the light. So 18 was the last one of the tenets that we used to have. But then there are like four more added. So 19, tenet number 19 is, we believe in Mother God, who is co-creator to our all-loving Father God, which is, you know, wonderful information. I was actually at the trance that Sylvia did when Francine gave us, you know, the information about the Mother Goddess. I think it was like 1989. And, you know, we were actually we were very excited. And we also were kind of blown away, too. I mean, I felt so privileged to be given this knowledge, you know, and a little part of me at the same time kind of wanted to, you know, keep it secret, you know, not share it. You know, maybe it was from when I was a Gnostic a long time ago, centuries ago, when, you know, we had to keep our philosophy, or, you know, we've been tortured or fed to the lions. So, but of course, you know, Novus Spiritus puts all the knowledge out there. And, you know, we know all the knowledge that we are given is also supposed to be given out to everyone that seeks it. So, and it's fun to talk about it. You know, when I first talked about it with my mom, it was like, well, hey, Mom, you know, we believe in a Mother God. And it's like, Michael? she was pretty funny about that, because she's pretty much goes along with the scriptures and the Bible. And I go, but Mom, what's missing? You know, you have Father God, right? And you have Christ, you know, Son of God. What's missing, Mother? So it was wonderful. I just consider myself to be kind of like, you know, the white sheep of the family. And being able to share some of this knowledge, you know, with my family is always, it's always interesting, the kind of reaction that that we can get.
Oh, my gosh. I understand. People ask me at work, which is very rare, so what, you know, oh, what does your license plate mean? And, cause my license plate has TNKAZNA, which is about, you know, think or think as, like think God or thank God. And I say, well, I believe in a Mother and Father God. And, I don't hear any more conversation. We go do something else. So, okay.
Also, too, I'm sorry, from the chat line, the person is asking how to be a Novus Spiritus member. It's Katie. Katie, I'm sorry I haven't responded to your email, but I will respond, or you can always email me, and it's michael@novus.org, michael@novus.org. Or my phone number is 408-440-3266. And then we can talk about being a membership and seeing if there's a maybe even a study group in your area. The study groups are one of the most important parts of the Society of Novus Spiritus. The way I feel about it is Sylvia's kind of like our quarterback, and, you know, she's, you know, throwing the knowledge, she's throwing the ball, and the Gnostics that are out there that resonate to it and love the philosophy, lives the philosophy, and decide to, like other, well, the fundamentalists, they have like their Bible studies. Well, we have our No Spirit to Study groups, and people get together with other people that believe the same. And if we can hook people up, you know, that's wonderful. We have Brooke here in the office that she tries to, you know, connect everyone with people in their area so they can get together and study the more in-depth spiritual information called Journey of the Soul. So you can get more information about study groups on the website, novus.org, or you can always email me or call me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Cool. I'll be calling you tomorrow, Michael.
All right. Okay, so tenet number 20. Tenet number 20 is, we believe that our Lord was crucified but did not die on the cross and went on to live his life in France with his mother and Mary Magdalene, his wife. And, of course, we have so much information in Sylvia's book, The Mystical Life of Jesus. And I was doing a services here about the mystical life of Jesus, and Francine, he was given a drug like vinegar and gall, kind of like opiate, that made him go into a deep swoon, a death.
Michael, hold on just a moment and step back just a little bit and repeat. You were breaking up a little bit, and I think some important things were missing.
Okay. Well, did we get the tenet okay?
Yeah, we got the tenet okay. You were talking about you started to talk about how he was actually given a drug at the time and it started breaking up.
Okay, vinegar and gall, which was like opiate that made him go into a deep swoon, assimilating death. And Francine told us even the spear in his side missed his heart on the left-hand side. Where no major organs were affected. And so it was all set up so that, he just went into a deep swoon. He was only on the cross for a short time because it was the Sabbath, and they took him down and then put him into, you know, the tomb. And then he was resuscitated and then appeared to his apostles. And Francine gave us some wonderful information about that. So, we'll be able to talk more about the mystical life of Jesus, hopefully in a future show. I want to go ahead and get, tenet number 21 is, we, the Gnostics, kept the knowledge hidden that Christ's lineage exists even today, and the truth long buried is open to research. Personally, I'm not sure what we can do with that. You know, there's not much we can do with that, you know, Christ's lineage lives today. Well, I'm sure we're all kind of like a part of, you know, Christ's lineage, but I don't know that it really matters because we all feel that we are sons and daughters of God. And, you know, that's what's important. And then the last one, tenet number 22, is we absolutely reject the book of Revelations and the Apocalypse, which is wonderful because it really is kind of a scary story, you know, Revelations with the, you know, what is it, a six-headed beast and stuff like that and all everything that's going to happen in the end of days. It's kind of a very scary story. So we actually, the Gnostic Society of Novus Spiritus rejects the book of Revelation, so, and the Apocalypse.
And the world is supposed to have ended how many times now in the last 2,000 years?
yep. So, well, Sylvia says, you know, no one can predict the end, and even in our Journey of the Soul books, you know, I was talking about, you know, a lot of earth changes that was going to happen. But it seems like, you know, things changed after 9/11 because that was kind of a time that really people became more spiritual and became, you know, realized what was more important you know, as opposed to their stuff, you know, their family and their friends, and became more spiritual, you know, after that time. So we're doing pretty good, but you think we should go ahead and let Sylvia do the meditation?
Sure. Very good.
So hopefully you're not driving. You know, we don't want you to close your eyes if you're driving, but if you do have a minute that you can sit down and take a deep breath, you know, put your feet flat on the floor, your hands upward on your thighs, and take a nice long deep breath and relax for a minute.
And I'll get started here.
So those are the tenets of our religion. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a really short meditation. I want to pray for all the people that are ill today. Put your hands upwards on your thighs. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. Put a white light of the Holy Spirit around you. And I want to get rid of some of this stress that you deal with all the time. In your schools, in your work, in your homes. And I want you to take a deep breath and I want you to imagine that there is a white light around you, lifted by the power of God, the morality of your own soul, into a beautiful blue sky. The sky is blue. So those are the tenets of our religion.
Oops. Sorry about that, Tom. You want to start that again?
Sure, I will.
So those are the tenets of our religion. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a really short meditation. I want to pray for all the people that are ill today. Put your hands upwards on your thighs. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. Put a white light of the Holy Spirit around you. And I want to get rid of some of this stress that you deal with all the time. In your schools, in your work, in your homes. And I want you to take a deep breath and I want you to imagine that there is a white light around you, lifted by the power of God, the morality of your own soul, into a beautiful blue sky. The sky is blue. The sun is warm. And as the sun hits you, all the stress, pain, all the addictions, all the negatives that you carry, all that needing that extra pill, that extra drink, that extra whatever, let it go. That's only part of the body. That's only part of the physiological crutches. Let those go. And feel the warmth of the sun now beating clear in to your mind and cleansing out all the dark places of anxiety and the breathing becoming regular. Letting go of all the prejudices, the hurts, the ingratitudes, and let it go. And feel your shoulders now shrug. Feel all of the areas of your body, all the systems of your body lighting up. Feel your blood pressure becoming normal. Feel your heartbeat becoming regular. And feel the grace of the Christ consciousness in your soul. Feel the Holy Spirit descending upon you. Feel your sense of righteousness within your own soul rise up in the judgment of yourself, knowing that you are good and kind and sweet and perfect, and that all these other things that you've carried are nothing but behavioral overlays. Now at this point, while you're floating, feel that your aura expands out, and let's please pray in our hearts for all the people that are sick or dying, or the homeless, people with AIDS, all the people suffering everywhere, on the Persian Gulf, in South Africa, everywhere, whether there's pestilence or greed or avarice, pray for them. Special prayer today for Ruth, who is part of our congregation, who's having a terrible time. We wish God's blessing. She either gets better or she goes. Whichever way is easy in God's will. We ask for the power of God to come and make us well. We ask for all of those that are not with us today, all of those that do not understand, to understand our way. We ask for alleviation of our enemies, to purify them. We ask for the mirrors to surround all of us so that all negativity will be reflected back to the person who sends it. No evil done, just reflect back to what they are doing to us. Through all adversity, through all the lies that can be told about us, to all those that can hurt us, to neutralize our pain and help our enemies to go upon their way and to literally leave us alone. Feel yourself floating now, this beautiful, brilliant sky of blue, and feeling that all the garbage falls away from you, become lighter and lighter, ascend higher and higher, and knowing that you're loved. And all of a sudden, as you're floating, feeling people, the room, this room, the people that love you, start coming closer, almost like in a free fall, except you never hit. And each hand reaches out. And each time the fingertips touch other fingertips, you become electrified by more godness, more spirituality, more love. Our Lord said, when two or more gather together in my name, but there are many more than that, and the love of God and the way Christ wanted us to live is what our commitment is. Feel yourself now coming back to yourself, the feeling of glow. Carry that with you all week. The spirit of Nova Spiritus. That's the divine spirit, breathing the divine spirit. We ask this in the name of the Mother God, the Father God, the Christ Consciousness, and the Holy Spirit to be with you. And God love you.
Are you back now?
I'm all the way back.
Okay,
one,
good.
1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Feeling absolutely wonderful. Well, it's been another wonderful...
I was going to say, are there any more comments or things we wanted to share this week?
No, I think it's been another wonderful show. I so appreciate everyone that called in, all the chats. All these people are all chatting with each other on the chat line. It's... thank you for sharing. God bless you, Connie. God bless you, everybody that has tuned in. You know, please, you know, tune in again. Call in. You know, share your experiences. Tom and I really, really enjoy doing this and look forward to the Wednesday shows. Tom?
Yep. I thoroughly enjoy this myself, so I'm looking forward to more and more interaction with people, you know, answering questions. That's, you know, we enjoy doing that. You know, like I tell people at church, if you don't, you know, if you got a question, grab a minister by the coattails and say, help me, help me, help me. And, you know, it's just, we've dedicated our lives. We thoroughly enjoy this, and we look forward to talking with more people. Thanks.
So, maybe, you know, Sylvia and Chris will be on next week. We're not sure. If not, we'll be going in and, you know, we're finished up the tennis now. So, who knows what direction we'll go in next. We just appreciate everyone tuning in and calling in. And also the people that, you know, come back and listen to the archive copies. Thank you. God bless you. I am your host, Michael McClellan, with my co-host, Tom Bigley. And we will be broadcasting every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, coming to you live from San Jose. We hope you'll tune in, keep connected, share the knowledge. God
bless. Goodbye. Good night.